Well, hello there, and welcome back to Radio Arcadia. Chris Marcus here with you always on today, Thursday, February 5th. And we have a really special treat for you tonight because we have a member of the Mises Institute, which, for anyone who's not familiar, is really a great home of free market Austrian economics. And even to simplify that a little more, it's basically common sense, logical economics, and what would happen if our government hadn't been hijacked by a team of socialists a couple centuries ago. And anyway, with that fine introduction stated, I would like to welcome tonight's guest, Mr. Jesse Thomas, also a supporter and proud member of the Libertopia Festival, and just a guy who likes freedom and, you know, living like a normal human all around, and dear friend of mine. So with that said, Jesse, are you with us tonight?
Yes, I believe I am here, Chris.
All right, well, I can understand because Obama's budget was just released a few days ago. You're probably still wondering if you're allowed to exist on the planet. So I feel your sentiments exactly. And why don't you tell us, what's going on in your corner of the free market world for the or fans out there who are listening and wondering if anyone else with common sense still exists with this current setup we have. And, again, I know you're always following some of the hot issues on the libertarian or anarcho-capitalist trail. So what do you have for us tonight? What's on your mind today, Jesse?
Well, I have two things on my mind. First is last night's experience at Fresh and Easy, having a hissy fit with the new alcohol laws that are very disruptive to the checkout process. I can explain that a little bit later. The other thing I have on my mind, what was that? Well, we'll stick with the Fresh and Easy grocery store thing. And if you'd like, I can explain that a little bit more.
Yes, please tell me how government is making the grocery stores safer, and I'm sure sure more expensive too. So what are our tax dollars going to, since we're apparently not educated enough to shop for our groceries on our own? What happened last night? Tell Dr. Chris and the listeners.
Well, I'm going to the checkout. This is a particularly small business, and they don't have checkout clerks. They only have these stations where you run your stuff through and you check it out yourself. And there's these little signs around that say, if you're checking out alcohol, please tell a tenant because they have to do it for you. And so if you're used to filling up your grocery bag cart and then you run your stuff through and then bleep, there goes a wine bottle. All hell breaks loose.
Oh boy.
They run up to you, they stop what you're doing, they tell you to grab all your stuff and start all over, and then they have to process everything for you. And they say, well, it's the law. I go, well, what law? It's the law. And they don't really know anything further. Well, it took a lot of research, but it turns out that there's some little, skinny little woman in San Francisco, her name is Fiona May.
Uh-huh.
Fiona May wrote this law to, quote, protect consumers from underage alcohol drinking, blah, blah, blah. Well, it turns out that she is really good friends with the Grocers Union. What is that?
Wait a second. You're telling me that someone advancing a political law that everybody else has to follow might be involved in getting some sort of benefit from it in passing a law for themselves?
I know. It's very strange.
I don't believe it.
But that's actually all government is actually for, right? When you say we benefit from government somehow, whoever benefits from government, there's a victim somewhere else, always, each and every time. Because of the hegemonic relationship the government has with people, blah, blah, blah. You know the whole story with Mary Rothbard. But, so this gang of people, the Grocery Workers Union, didn't like the competition that Fresh and Easy and a couple of these other grocery stores had on the big chain, right? They were efficient, they were small, lean, and mean. And I said, well, we've got to think of a way to make these people miserable and pay lose this. So they thought of it. Let's use the Bureau of the Alcohol Control Board to strong arm them into misery. Well, they went to Fiona, who, I don't know how they did this. Maybe they met her in a parking lot, a couple of limousines facing the opposite direction. You know how, can you picture that?
Oh, yeah.
And said, okay, I've got a plan here. We're going to make this ridiculous law. We're not going to call it ridiculous because we believe in it. We're going to make all of these small businesses have the grocery clerks stop what they're doing and redo the whole line. If there's any bit of alcohol in the line, they've got to do it themselves. In the interest of the children or whatever, right?
Yes, yes.
So,
because obviously all these liquor laws have been a raging success. I mean, it's not like we have kids going out and partying. And I mean, that was pretty much my main memory of high school is, you know, figuring out different ways to go to the liquor store and buy beer so you could go to a party on the weekend, which, so obviously I'm assuming the laws have been hugely successful in controlling things in government fashion, right?
Well, not only that, but it's the big extortion act. If you go on the Alcohol Control Board website, you can look at the fines and news breaks. You'll see a whole list of every place where they sent their hairy 20-year-old teenagers in to beg and plead and find a way to trick the guy behind the counter into selling the beer. And then they'll have their goons come in and shut them down or send them a $2,000 fine for first or second offense or whatever it is. And they do this everywhere, all over the state, all the time. That's all it is. It's just a racket. It's arm twisting. It's exactly like the mafia during the prohibition. I mean, these guys, if you think about the incentive structure here, I mean, looking back at economics, there's an incentive structure to do this sort of thing because they get the financial reward for bullying and setting up businesses for the fall and entrapment. It's an entrapment business, but you can't really call it a business because the business is a voluntary exchange, right? So just, I've got to choose my words carefully, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, and speaking of which, you know, it's funny you mentioned the entrapment because that was the first thing I was thinking. Isn't this the exact definition of that? But additionally, do you ever wonder where all this money that the fines go, like where does the money go to? I mean, in particular, I read all these, you know, they fine S&P for the mortgages, they fine the banks, they fine the rating agencies, which, you know, now by all means, do I think that any of these guys are innocent? No, although I don't, you know, the problem is here's the government step in to fine them. And then does any of that money ever get actually back to the people who were ripped off by these scams? Or does it end up just going?
Are you talking about the savings and loan kind of stuff? Or?
In this particular example, but more just from a general sense, it's that we see all these fines and, you know, I think I told you when I was still living back in San Diego that I actually got a jaywalking ticket, which was $200, believe it or not.
Wow.
And
I jaywalk all the time. I try and get a ticket. They won't ticket me.
Well, it's going to get a chapter in my upcoming book because I did make it a personal pledge of mine to turn that ticket into a profitable investment. So you'll be hearing about more of that in the future.
Well, what I would like to see is the Robin Hood group here in San Diego. And I was sort of doing that for a while. I would put nickels in the parking meters when they were red, when I saw the, you know, the little go-kart go up the street with flashing yellow lights.
Right. Yeah,
you
well,
put a nickel in and you save somebody $40. I mean, how heroic is that?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. We always hear about how, and again, a couple of days ago, Obama's disastrous. I don't even know if you, I mean, isn't that kind of unfair to the word budget to call it a budget? But, you know, it just makes you wonder where all this money goes, which by all means, I think there's a place for rules, but, you know, it's kind of like you said before, it almost feels sometimes like we're watching an episode of The Sopranos.
Do you think there's a place for government?
Not as people traditionally know it. I mean, I would go as far as to, I think we've discussed this before, that I'm running for president in the next election with my platform consisting entirely of just dissolving everything that I can get my hands on and then resigning, which, you know, if someone really is that much in love with government, you know, don't we still have the state government? So if anyone's worried about police or jails or something like that, I mean, we have enough. I don't understand why we need this federal level of oppression. I mean,
why have state or county or city? I don't think we need any of that stuff. We just need a market.
Well, I'm with you on that. I mean, I think we could get rid of the state government as well because, of course, you know, obviously the first reaction is that isn't all hell going to break loose, but...
Actually not. You know, the idea Remember about 5 years ago, some Scandinavian country had a government shut down completely because they ran out of money?
Right. Are you referring to Iceland?
In the news, in the press, what was that?
Are you referring to Iceland?
Yeah, I think that was probably Iceland. Government was shut down. What happened? Nothing. People just went to work. They just went about their own business.
Yes, which is certainly...
It's not a big deal if government shuts down. That's the thing.
I mean, because you think about it, I mean, for all the people who believe in living an honest life and want to earn the things they have and so forth, I mean, I don't think that there's, and maybe I'm not right here, but I mean, it's not like the reason I don't go in and rob the liquor store is because I might get caught. I mean, I just choose not to rob the liquor store and you know, and kind of looking on the other side.
Let me give you a practical analysis of that one.
Okay.
You don't rob the liquor store because of two reasons. One, reputation.
Right.
Two, the cost of the result is going to be higher than the benefit that you would get, and the uncertainty. The guy might have a gun. Those market reasons alone, without government, would be enough for you to decide most likely not to rob the liquor store. And you want to go back anyway, right? So market will bring about the best behavior of people.
Right. And now looking at the other side of that, now first of all, I think often people who are willing to commit crime or steal or hurt someone, I mean, it's not as if the laws are preventing people from doing that already. I mean, you know, there's crime taking place every day, and usually the law is just there trying to clean it up. But what would your take on the free market, which I think is important, though, because at least, you know, I think there's benefit to having some sort of system in place that if someone is out harming others, that they're prevented in whatever way possible from doing so again. Now, my feeling has been that there would be a private market solution rather than having, you know, the arbitrary government system that we have now. But I'm curious, how do you feel the private market would handle that element?
Well, let's look at small micro causes of this. Inside of a shopping mall or inside of a mosh pit bar, punk rock bar, for example, even a crazy place like that, somebody gets out of control, most of the people will stop the person that is out of control, and then they'll just get thrown out. I mean, there's so much self-regulation that there really isn't much of a concern for the need to have or justification to have a monopoly rule of force that is paid for through some sort of extortion means that you can't, where you can't withdraw your support if that group becomes a problem.
Right.
See? So ultimately, you have in the market customers who decide who the best service providers are because of prices. And that includes just about any economic good at all. You know, security, water, anything, right?
Which one of my favorite examples of that is thinking about the SEC, which is supposed to police the markets and in particular had extensive detailed knowledge of what Bernie Madoff was doing years in advance, because there was a fellow named Harry Markopoulos that had been researching, and because he was running a fund and didn't know why all the customers were claiming this unbelievable deal. And, you know, because they didn't like Markopoulos, and for political reasons, he outlines in his book, which I highly recommend. I believe it's called something like No One Would Listen. But in either case, you know, here it is. We have the Federal Reserve on a regular basis turning every financial market into a Ponzi scheme. And I'd rather have my money back and not have to pay the SEC, which is asleep at the wheel and all this stuff. And perhaps, you know, all the other people who are being forced to pay for the SEC could say, well, I'd like to have my choice of where I want to spend that money. They could say, geez, this Arcadia Economics, wow, what a great, amazing service this guy is offering, where he's really explaining what Wall Street doesn't want us to know and breaking it down. And they could purchase services there or so forth. And so,
you know. If I may say something, there's a monumental, astronomical Ponzi scheme, and I think you know what that one is. That's Social Security.
Yeah, well, which was funny in the Wall Street Journal snippet I got about the Obama, again, loosely termed budget. They mentioned that. Actually, let me pull up this quote. I mean, you really wouldn't believe this unless you actually hear it. It was amazing.
You know, I'm not going to let you get away with your opening statement about we need smaller government, et cetera, but we'll get to that after this.
Well, I don't know of anything. I mean, when you just think about how the free market has outperformed the public sector and everything, and I mean, I have yet to find the area of government. Like, what is it that government has actually ever fixed or made better? And if I may try and backtrack a little bit, the only reason I wasn't crucifying the state government was just from the standpoint of my public presidential campaign that I'm focusing on getting rid of the federal government first.
Well, it doesn't matter. You can run for president, say whatever you want. That's the beauty of not worrying about whether you're going to get elected. Like, when I ran for libertarian twice, right?
Right.
I didn't care what people thought. I told them what I thought. And the whole idea is you get invited to debates, and they invite you, and you can say what you want, and they'll go, yeah, rah, 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 we like what you say. But they're going to vote for those other guys because, you know, they think they're going to get, again, a law that's going to benefit them over their competitors.
Well, I wonder sometimes, especially digging into a lot of marketing and, you know, thinking about how Obama got elected with a good Twitter campaign. I mean, when you think about the way that, you know, we can debate the speed at which it's happening, but I do believe the number of people who are becoming clear on what's really going on is growing. And I wonder, I mean, are we close enough that maybe if, you know, I always imagine if you had you point to outline and you say, well, we're going to get rid of the CIA. And of course, people, the first time they hear that, think, what's this guy talking about? But then if people knew about MKUltra or the propaganda campaigns or, you know, overthrowing governments, rigging elections at home and abroad, if it was all documented and introduced and supported in the right way, you know, I mean, I'm not running so that I can win president, because my platform basically consists of, if elected, I would just dissolve everything I could, including the office of presidency itself, and then be able to resign. And, you know, I'm sure there's some people without a home who could, I mean, think about how many people we could house in the White House alone. I mean, this mansion with, you know, you could build a couple condos on the front yard and lots of people stay there as well, so.
You know, that begs the question that I've always been asking myself is, if you have a government, local government-run golf course, i.e. city golf course, and they decide to make it private, which there really should be no city golf course, who would own the golf course, right? Same applies to the White House.
Well, just imagine if the... if we actually privatized all of the government assets. I mean, you know, if you got rid of Social Security and Medicare, which, you know, isn't to say that I don't think there's anyone who wants to see people without, you know, out there struggling, but imagine if, you know, if people weren't being forced to pay into these things or taxes. I mean, we could probably take care of everybody pretty darn easily and then sell off all of these assets that the government has hijacked. And, you know, I think in a freedom-based system, there's obviously more than enough to go around for everyone two or three times over.
Well, I can cleanse myself of socialist partaking by saying that in a market economy, everybody would have so much more of their own capital that the poverty rate would be so low that it would really not be a dinner discussion.
Yes, absolutely. And I'll take that even a step further, going back to what we were saying about, you know, police force. My guess is that if people weren't struggling to get by and just, you know, working however many hours a week just so they can live and continue eating food, if they weren't being poisoned with fluoride in their water or GMOs in their food or all these other, you know, weapons that are being directed against people to make them more angry and anxious, you probably imagine the drop off in crime that you'd have just from that alone.
So I guess the government likes crime.
Well, you gotta keep that prison industrial complex going, right?
Well, that's the problem with the fact that you have privately run prisons, is that it gives people that say capitalism is evil something to point at and say, look, this is what capitalism does. You have private prisons. But actually, that's wrong. It's really just fascism, because even though it's privately run, it's controlled and lives off of government. So basically, people just have to be clear with the definition.
Yeah, it's like saying that the Federal Reserve is a private institution that just so happens to be able to print any amount of currency they feel like at any given time. Which,
as if it was government run, would it be any better?
It's
the legal tender law. It's the federal government that says, look, you can't use banana, money, or you can't use, gold coin. You have to use Federal Reserve notes. Right? I want to use whatever I want to use.
Well, along those lines, you know, in addition to being able to use what you want, obviously the reason we're forced into that paper currency is because you can't pay the IRS in Bitcoin. But again, going back to, should we even be paying the IRS? I mean, the idea that we're all working and giving up a quarter to half of our salary to a bunch of guys that are either criminals or incompetent, with the way they waste and mismanage the money. You know, it's truly fascinating just you know, I think the government has done such a thorough job of indoctrinating us from birth, and making us think that the system has to work this certain way, which once you really get into free market economics and see what's really possible. Anyway, it's just interesting thinking about what so much of this money is going for. So, anyway, with that said...
So, in other words, you're right now focused on, okay, so they're extorting money from everybody. What are they doing with the money? Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing the things that they wasted on, and that they can still convince everyone that...
Are you assuming for a second, since you said the word waste, that it is possible that there are some good things the government can spend money on that is not wasteful?
I mean, they could come close to not being a disaster, but no, I can't see anything government would spend money on that couldn't be more efficiently done by the private sector. No.
That's right. It can always be done better by the private sector, so you have to say... sharp and disciplined and focused.
Well,
because I think that is always the case. And the reason I can say that that's always the case is from the Thespian knowledge of money and Austrian economics, really.
Plus a couple thousand years of history to back it up as well. So, anyway.
Go ahead.
Well, just with that said, any final events or topics that you're looking forward to in the near future that people should be keeping their eyes on?
Yeah, the West Albrook case on Silk Road trial that's happening right now in New York.
Can you say that again?
The Silk Road case that is happening in New York right now.
Okay.
You've heard of Russ Albrecht?
No, I have not.
Oh, I see. This is a different circle then. Well, you know about the Silk Road, right?
I don't think I've heard of that.
Really? Oh, well, the Silk Road is a website run on Onion Network that was used to sell anything and everything, using Bitcoin.
Okay.
And the person who is accused of running that website is now on trial in New York. And Free Talk Live is taking note of it and making reports on it. And it's a very good thing to keep track of, because then you can keep tally of how it is that the courts treat people that are in this world that are... for freedom and nonviolence, basically, et cetera, et cetera. But it's an interesting case for a lot of people that are involved with that story. So I've been keeping up with that somewhat.
Well,
and a little Daily Anarchy, of course.
Well, I'm certainly ready to the return to free market principles, and it would be nice to have that extend to the judicial branch of the government as well, and we'll be doing what we can here, Jesse. So I'd like to thank you again for visiting us on the show and sharing. And for anyone who may be hearing any of these ideas for the first time and is wondering or thinking they sound a little bit out of left field, certainly, first of all, I can associate because it was all new to me, but really the Mises Institute, really a great resource that really explodes so many of these myths that we were trained to believe of how government is the only way that things can work. And Jesse, I thank you for helping to bust some of those myths here today. And we hope to have you again on the show soon if the government doesn't come in and muzzle you for speaking the truth. And I thank you for joining us, my friend.
All right, Chris, take care.
Right, and for everybody else out there, thank you for tuning into Radio Arcadia tonight, and God bless you.